night, everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. I am your host for this edition, Doug Hummer, and tonight we are counting down the top 10 greatest superstars that have to never be WWF / WWE champion. Of course, joining me to discuss this topic is, of course, my brother Daniel.
What's up?
Eric is here.
What up?
Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. And Kenny's joining us.
Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
And Kenny, we're happy to have you.
Good.
So,
I had something clever, but I'll do it another time.
All right. Do it in two weeks when you and I have to host the Patriot tribute.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to use all your A material at once.
Right.
Yeah. Will done.
But, all right. So before we get into the news and then the countdown, Daniel's doing the plugs this week. So, Daniel, take it away, bud.
Make sure to listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes, Box and Smart. Hell of a duo. Every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and SmackDown, respectively. Make sure to listen to us, obviously, at 6:30 p.m. on Fridays. Hopefully you're listening to us right now, but make sure to listen to us on Scripted Wrestling. Unscripted Unlimited, our secondary show, is on Saturday, and that's where we get into like everything else, basically, UFC, superhero stuff, Big Brother recap. We got a lot going on, and we're going to be talking about the last UFC event last weekend, the big Poirier-McGregor rematch. So we got a lot of good stuff coming on, and on Sunday at 3 p.m., we got Scaredy Cats with me and Mindy. We're going to be talking about the Frankie Muniz project, Stay Alive, where you, when you die in a video game, you die in real life. So we got a lot of good stuff coming this weekend.
Which I would be fucked if I ever played that kind of game.
Yeah, you suck at games. So we got a lot going on, and I'll throw it back to you, Doug.
All right. And also, for anybody that did not catch the website that those are on, it is blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted.
And, of course, September 18th, the boys, me, Doug, Eric, maybe Mindy will be joining us, will be in Merchantville for their toy fair. We're going to be selling our stuff, so make sure to come out. And, you know, if you don't want to buy anything, come out and talk wrestling. Who cares? But that's
you
what we'll
do
be.
Remote. You do a remote show.
I'm actually trying to get that worked out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're thinking about it.
I'll be on the other like, come in, Doug. Come in, Doug. Do you read?
But, yeah, so that's what we got going. So.
All right. Okay, so a little bit of news first, and I'm going to start with this news topic first because Stevie and Eric, I think, have been wanting to get into this all week. So last weekend, Peacock, for the third time in a row, pulled an original documentary off the lineup for the WWE Network on Peacock. And this time they pulled the Broken Skull Sessions featuring Kevin Nash, which was supposed to be part of NWO Week. They did it the week prior to the Lex Luger Icons documentary, and they did it in June to the Untold Nexus story. So it was three times in a row of, and I know there was a huge outcry. People were pissed. Now, Peacock has updated it, and the Nash interview with Steve Austin will be uploaded on Sunday. So it is coming to the network. But Peacock had also said, because, you know, there was no classic content drop this month, Peacock is still trying to upload everything that was on the former network, on the original WWE network, to their network. WWE made the promise to all the fans that everything would be uploaded by SummerSlam. And so Peacock has to fulfill that promise. And what had happened was they uploaded a bunch of shit over the weekend, over last weekend, and completely forgot to upload the Kevin Nash interview because it got lost in the in their lineup of stuff that they had, because they up last weekend alone they uploaded Saturday night's main event, the Legends of Wrestling Roundtable show, a couple more DVD documentaries, and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So
Jim Cornette got the push over Kevin Nash.
Oh, and I'm sure Cornette is fucking doing cartwheels right now over it.
Unfortunately, he should be.
Yeah. So, you know, again, Peacock made a mistake, and they're trying to own up to it. Stevie, you were definitely vocal about it. Did you have a chance to read the article that I told you guys to read?
Actually, you know what? I haven't read it yet. I couldn't find it. So.
All right. I should have sent you guys like the whole article, and that's the website you can find the article on. But
hey, since I don't really have an opinion on this, I'll give you my 2 cents, and then you guys can fight about it. Does it strike anybody as weird that NBC Universal doesn't have the ability just to like set this shit up on a computer and say, okay, it'll be done in 4 weeks or whatever? Like, isn't that weird for a company that, you know, one of the biggest movie studios in Hollywood, they don't have a strong enough like access to a supercomputer or something that they just can't be like, okay, we're good. It'll be done in, you know, 3 days. We'll come back and check on it. That's the first thing. And secondly, if you guys get a VPN sponsorship and then give it to the people and then just go on and use the Indian version of the old network anyways, and you'll be set. So there you go.
Right. And I'll say this, and I've been saying this for weeks. Peacock wanted the pay-per-views. Okay? When the whole deal was set up, Vince McMahon, ever since before the pandemic started last year, had wanted to shop around the pay-per-views because he wanted to make more money.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like only giving away pay-per-views for $10. So he wanted to make more money. So he was trying to shop it around. He was actually trying to get the ESPN Plus deal.
Yeah?
Yeah. He wanted to be on ESPN Plus. So... anyway, so they still couldn't find anybody to buy the pay-per-view distribution. So he fired the president of the company who had been there for 20 years, George Berrios, because Berrios wasn't producing results for Vince, and, you know, Vince is 76 years old and impatient.
Right.
So he hired this Nimrod, Nick Khan. By the way, no relation to Tony Khan, but he said to Nick Khan, he goes, save me some money, pal. So Nick Khan goes and shops the network and finds a buyer in Peacock and NBC Universal, because a lot of the programming was already streaming for free on Peacock anyway. So they go to Peacock. And Peacock's just like, yeah, you know, we'll buy the pay-per-views and all that. We could stream the pay-per-views on here, part of our live sports package. So then Nick Khan kind of turns around and says, okay, you're going to buy the whole network. And he goes, and Peacock's just like, we don't want the network. We want the pay-per-views. We don't want the whole library. And Nick Khan says, well, you already signed the contract. You're taking the whole thing. So because, like I said, the guy's a Nimrod.
Yeah.
And Vince told him save money. So the way he figured he'd save money is he got rid of the network. Now... I have my feelings on Nick Khan, which I'm going to keep to myself, because if I say my feelings about this guy, we're going to get thrown off the air. go ahead, Dan.
I mean, there's a couple things. I'm sure what Peacock wanted is kind of like what ESPN Plus and UFC does.
Yeah.
Right, where you have the UFC Fight Pass where you can watch all the old library and everything, and then but the pay-per-views, you have to buy them on ESPN Plus. The problem there is, especially with them just getting pay-per-views, I think wrestling fans are too trained with this $9.99 a month thing and everything. I don't think any fans are going to go back to buying pay-per-views for $50 a pop. I don't see it happen. And wrestling's already not really, you know, killing it as far as, you know, viewership right now and making money. So I think that they all knew that that wasn't going to happen. So now we're kind of left with this. And a lot of, like, Peacock, I mean, of course they want WWE, but I don't know if they were signing up for WCW Saturday Night and the old ECW show, even though it's great, but and all the content's good, but I don't know if that's necessarily what they thought they were signing up for.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Well, to me, it's so dumb. It's like the biggest mistake they ever made was putting the pay-per-views on the network in the first place, because it screwed them over. It screwed the guys over, the boys, number one, because the pay went down, right? So there's all kinds of pressure on Vince McMahon. So he really didn't have a choice other than to do that. Other than that, like, I don't understand why he needed to make money off of that. Like, what, $10 a month was enough with all the subscribers they had? Like, seriously? Like, dude, just retire and stop destroying everything you've done.
Right. All right. Real quick, Stevie, give your thoughts, and then Eric will go to you.
All right. So what's the length of this contract? Do you know?
I'm not sure how long it's for, but as far as I know, like, WWE's never taken never starting up the network again. Like, it's on Peacock.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I just think it's kind of bogus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that, especially, like, because, again, you know, we have a wrestling podcast where we talk about a lot of this older stuff. So we need to watch this stuff. And also, too, like, the documentaries are interesting, and when they are promoted heavily, you know, you expect to be able to watch them.
Right, but it'd be even more sadder if they tear everything down. You know what I mean?
Right.
How are you supposed to do a podcast? It's like ridiculous.
Well, everything's got to go back to YouTube.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, what are your thoughts on this? Because I know you were kind of vocal about it at the beginning of the week.
I mean, all I have to say is I think maybe WWE did make a mistake going to Peacock. I think they were going just fine with just the WWE network by himself. And that's pretty much all I have to say. I think they probably made a mistake, but it hasn't even been six months yet. So maybe with time it will get better. I'm willing to give it a chance, but I think they might have made a mistake.
I mean, it's obviously a money move because he was getting scared during the pandemic.
Right.
Because nothing was really coming in because you can't do live shows and shit.
Right. And again, he said to Nick Khan, he basically just said, save me some money, pal.
Yeah.
And Nick Khan took that as, okay, I got to get rid of a lot of things that cost a lot of money.
I understand.
Braun Strowman happened to be one of them.
Yeah.
And obviously the network was another. So, and again, I don't like Nick Khan. I can't get into the reason why, like I said, if we want to keep this show going.
All right, let's move on.
All right. So now next piece, the last piece of news I want to get into. It was reported today. Goldberg is coming back to WWE television on Raw Monday to set up a SummerSlam match with Bobby Lashley.
Wow.
I guess this is the second best thing they could get. They can't get Brock Lesnar, so I guess this is the best thing.
We were talking about it a little before the show, and it could be a good, it could be exciting. I mean, it's going to be a 5 minutes of excitement, you know. It's going to be a Goldberg match, and Bobby can go. He's proven that. It's going to be brutal and physical, so it's not like it's got to be a 15-minute, like, 20-minute masterpiece, but they're going to get in there and do their thing. I mean, Goldberg's older, but he's still shown in his older age that there is certain guys that he can work with in some capacity.
The only thing is he can't jackhammer anymore.
Yeah. Battle of the Spears. There you
well,
go.
Well, actually, here's the thing. He might be able to get Lashley up for a jackhammer. Like, he couldn't get Rusev up for one, but Rusev is a...
They're probably about the same weight, though.
Well, Lashley's more muscle. Rusev was... I mean, he's in better shape now as Miro.
Yeah.
But back when he was Rusev, he was pretty fat. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was going to say, do you think they pull the trigger and give it to Gomer?
The title?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's going to be for the WWE title. Kofi might beat Lashley on Sunday, although I'm kind of doubting it.
You think Kofi wins the title? Wow.
I just said I kind of doubt it.
I mean, we'll see.
Oh, okay.
Probably not. And if it is for the title, I don't see them taking it off Lashley. I mean, they've done stupider
things. Or the Money in the Bank holder could win the thing on... whoever wins the Money in the Bank ladder match could cash in.
Yeah.
Who do you guys think is going to win it? I don't even know who's in it.
I don't even really know either. Who? And to be honest with you, I really don't care.
I think AJ. No, is AJ in it?
No.
Oh, never
There's
mind.
There's actually a rather eclectic group of gentlemen in the match, to be honest.
I know Riddle's in it. McIntyre's in it. I think Ricochet, Morrison...
John Morrison's winning.
Kevin Owens.
And isn't I,
They can't give it to McIntyre, can they?
I don't know. And Nakamura and Rollins are the last two.
There you go, yeah.
That sounds like a good match.
Yeah. It's going to be a really good match. All right. Anybody have anything else? Or Kenny, you wanted to try to say something about this, right?
I think that's what he was saying.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I have one more thing.
All right, go ahead.
Cena's probably going to come back too. So, he's wrong. I'm just convinced that Reigns.
Right.
I've been calling that for a month.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Doug.
All right. Anybody else have anything they want to say on Goldberg and Lashley?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay, so now we're gonna get into the countdown. So what we did was I asked a question about 2 months ago, and I asked people to start giving their top fives who they think is the greatest wrestler to never hold the WWF/WWE champion. And got a lot of responses, so we put it in a bunch of polls this week. Close to 1,000 votes have been cast. And we have our top 10. Now, it came down to 18 guys. And those 18 guys are Mr. Perfect, Roddy Piper, Owen Hart, Ted DiBiase, Ravishing Rick Rude, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Razor Ramon, Tito Santana, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, the British Bulldog, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Vader, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, Test, Rick Martel, Earthquake, and the Big Boss Man. So that's who was eligible for this countdown.
Okay, quick question here.
Yeah. No, I didn't read it in order.
Why is Test in this list? And Eric, I know it's because of you, so explain yourself.
Me?
Did you do this?
I have nothing to do with it.
Then who put Test in, Doug?
It was a, he had been suggested, and he had gotten enough votes to be part of, this list. So I added him in.
I was just betting on Eric because usually, you know, like, the, if it's a wild card, he usually throws him out there.
That's just damn good.
Thanks, Kenny.
It was nothing bad, nothing against Test and nothing against Eric, but usually when a different, like, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't have said it, but, like, as a guy who's out there, if it's somebody kind of different, it's usually Eric's choice.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so here's what we're going to do, and we're going to do a little bit of a contest. Obviously, I can't participate because I know who's the top 10.
Right.
So what we're going to do is before I reveal who's at every number,
yeah.
I'm going to ask each one of you who you think is at that number. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get it
okay.
wrong, you don't get a point. Whoever has the
okay.
most points at the end of the top 10 gets to pick our show topic for August 6th.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay? Because next week we got a Nitro we're going to watch. 2 weeks from tonight, Kenny and I are hosting a Patriot tribute. Which, by the way, Kenny, we are going to have some guests on.
Oh, really? Who?
Rod Price is going to join us. The guy that hosted a podcast with the Patriot, he's going to pop in for a cameo, Abby Klein. John Horton, who is Craig Johnson in the GWF, he's going to join us. And Freddie Fargo may join us as well.
Freddie Fargo? You mean wrestling correspondent and manager Freddie Fargo?
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be fun, I'm sure.
And that'll be in 2 weeks. All right, so... here we go. We'll start off with number 10, obviously. And Daniel, I'm going to ask you first. Out of all the guys I listed, who's number 10?
That list is going to have to be repeated to me a couple times. So can I just sit in front of the notepad? Who's number 10? I heard Ted DiBiase. I think I'd put him at number 10.
Okay.
Some people might think that's too high, but.
Okay. Kenny, who do you think is number 10 on this list?
Mr. Wonderful.
All right. Eric?
I'm going to agree with Daniel and say Ted.
Okay. Stevie?
I would agree and say Ted DiBiase would be number 10.
Okay. Well, that was a bad idea. You're all wrong.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Vader.
Okay.
So,
that was the second one I was going to do.
Damn. So we're talking about Vader, right?
Yes, we're going to talk about Vader for a few minutes.
Yeah, he deserves to be there, 100%. To me, one of the more underrated big men of all time. Loved his WCW run. I went back before the network got butchered or whatever. I went back and I watched a lot of those 96 Raws when he came in, and like just before the Royal Rumble and stuff. And he was actually pretty menacing. Like, he was pretty badass before. Like, I know, like, the whole thing with Shawn happened and his whole run in WWF is considered a bust. But that early run when he came in with Cornette, I thought was actually good shit. And I love his WCW stuff and obviously his Japan stuff. He's a legend.
Right. But do you think that he belongs on a list of greatest superstar that's never been WWE champion?
Well, it's a tough one because he's been champion everywhere else, so it's not like he's not a great champion because he is a great champion. He could be on maybe even a top 20 list of WCW champions or something like that. So do I think he should have had the title during his WWF run? Maybe not, because I don't know if he was, you know, ready at that time. how everyone else. I like that they gave it to Sid instead, but I do think he is one of the better guys to never hold the WWF title. Okay.
All right. Kenny, what do you think about Vader, one, being on the list, and two, his placement?
One, he should be on the list. Obviously, like Daniel said, legendary wrestler, did some amazing things, just was, you know, authentic and real in a way that few people are, maybe a little too real in some cases, just ask Mick Foley. As far as his placement on the list, yeah, he should be, I would have put him maybe a little higher, but maybe like 8, yeah. 9, but he should be on this list because, let's face it, now, all respect to Shawn Michaels now and Triple H now and those guys, but, you know, they, whatever they're, how different they are now. But back then, maybe if Shawn Michaels would have taken his balls out of Triple H's mouth and would have worked with Vader, you know, and had Vader be in the Sid spot, maybe that would have been something really, really good. Maybe
yep.
much better. I mean, it was good as it was, but really good. So, yeah, Vader belongs in the spot, of course.
Okay. All right, Stevie. One, do you think Vader belongs on this list? And two, is he on the right place on the list?
Number one, yeah, he should be on the list. And number two, I would have never put him at 10. I probably would have put him at 6 or 5.
Okay.
That's what I would have done. But, yeah, he should be on the list for sure.
Okay. Eric, same two questions.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you guys, and he definitely should be on the list. I think he should have won the title from HBK, and I'm a big HBK guy. So, yeah. And number two, I agree with Stevie. I had him about top 5, top 6.
Okay. All right. I will say this without spoiling any more of the countdown. He actually just made the list because we had to do another poll.
Yeah.
Because, you know, close to 1,000 votes, Cass, we still had fucking ties. So technically he just made the list about an hour ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Like,
well.
It was very close. He edged out somebody by 3 votes.
Okay. Yeah, he deserves it. I mean, he's the man.
Yeah. No, I love
yeah.
Vader. I absolutely love Vader, so I'm happy he's on the list. All right. Now up to number 9. Daniel, who is number 9?
I think I'm just going to keep saying Ted to be happy until I get it right. But, no, let's go Big Boss Man, because I think he's on there, right? To me, he is
part of the top 18.
He would be my number 9 if I had a list, so.
Okay. All right, Kenny?
I'm going to say, this is tough. I'm going to go with, I'm going to stick with Mr. Wonderful at least this time. After that, I'll quick switch, but Mr. Wonderful.
Okay. Stevie?
I would go with Paul Orndorff at number 9.
Okay. Eric?
I'm going to say Jimmy Snuka.
Okay. Again, you're all wrong.
No one's going to win this fucking contest.
I should have done it differently, but I didn't feel like keeping a list of everybody's picks.
It's all good.
Number 9, believe it or not, and I thought he would have been higher, Razor Ramon.
Ooh.
What?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Why is he at 9?
But that makes sense to me. Because he was never a WCW world champion. He's like the best mid-carder of all time. And I know NWO was like a very main event thing, and Scott Hall can be in a main event and no one's going to complain. But he, like, 9's a good spot for him. I don't know if I would put him too much higher. Because he is, like, he's that mid-card guy in WWF, and he was always kind of the guy helping get other – he was the only guy in the NWO that would kind of let other people get over sometimes. And he was just, like, a great hand. Like, I mean, he is a legend, and he Do I think he should have won a title at some point? Sure, but I think nine's a good spot for him.
Yeah. By the way, he was the only member of the NWO, and he's actually said this. He's the only member of the NWO that actually liked to wrestle.
Wow.
He's the only one that was good at it, too.
Yeah. So, all right, Kenny. Does Razor Ramon belong on the list, and should he have been higher?
Yes and maybe. I was a huge Razor Ramon fan. Like, he just was so freaking cool. Although, somebody listened to his ideas because some of the costumes they had from before, you know, they settled in this, oof, they would have killed him. But, you know, Scott Hall, like, was just always he was always good. And, you know, once he got to be the Diamond, he's basically, you know, doing the Diamond Stud thing, and then he became Razor Ramon, and he did a great Al Pacino as Scarf, you know, Tony Montana, and it just worked for the character, and, you know, it helped that he's, you know, kind of a swarthy guy, that so you bought him as Cuban, and he could work, and great example of how body language is more important than people give him credit for. Because, I mean, think about Scott Hall. What were his best moves? Were his punch and the razor's edge? I mean, those were his moves. Like, yeah, he did some other stuff, but those were the two moves that, like, got people into it, right? The punches,
right,
when on his comeback, and then his razor's edge. So, yeah, he definitely deserves to be on the list. It's, you know, I glad to see he's cleaned up his life or whatever. I hope he stays sober. I think, you know, it sounds like when he was sober, he was a good guy, and when he wasn't, he was a prick. Did some shitty stuff, but, you know, hopefully he can keep clean. And, yeah, I would have liked to see him. Like, there was a – if – I can believe if Flair hadn't come to the WWF when he did, and they did the whole title change, you know, with – you know, when Brett had the belt for a little bit there and everything, it was Flair. It was, and Brett had the belt, and it was kind of that, like, him and Razor wrestled for the belt on something, a main event somewhere. I think you could have
Royal Rumble Razor 93. Get the belt.
Yeah, I think you could have seen him get the belt then, if other things had been different, you know.
Right. Okay, Eric, same two questions.
Yeah, I agree that he should be on the list, definitely. He's a legend. He was probably one of the best IC champions in the mid-90s. Legendary matches with Shawn Michaels, of course, two battle matches. And then, yeah, Daniel convinced me. I think 9 is about the right spot, considering the other people who were in contention.
Right. Stevie, thank you for question.
Well, yeah, he should be on the list. I would have not put him at 9. Maybe I would have put him at, like, 7 or something.
Okay.
But yeah, he should be on there.
Right. I'll say this. Before I did the poll this past week,
yeah,
had I not done the polls, he would have been 8. So he dropped down a spot, but he still would have been towards the bottom of the list.
Well, just to say some more good shit about Razor, which I think doesn't get talked about enough, especially because wrestling, I mean, we all love wrestling, obviously, but wrestling can come off as very corny to an outside perspective. It's hard to make wrestling cool. It's been done. But I feel like that's the problem they have nowadays, is they can't really make the cool factor what it was in certain areas. He was a mid-card guy a lot of his career, and he was cool. And you believed it. Like, just everything about, not just the bravado, it never felt like he was just doing a poor Al Pacino impression to me. It always felt like he believed everything that he was doing. He was that character, and there was just something so cool. Even watching it back, it's like, that dude is so badass. And there's just something about Razor that he's just
one of those guys that you see him on a card and you get excited. And I never really needed him to be in the main event, but I do agree that a title run would have been cool at some point. But I love his legacy for what it is, too.
Right. And by the way, Scott Hall, despite what people say, Scott Hall is also a very nice guy.
Well, he was to you at a convention one time.
So. Yeah. Well, that's all I'm saying. All right. So number eight. Daniel, what do you think number eight is?
Test. Probably. I don't know, because all I'm thinking of are guys that should probably be higher, like Mr. Perfect and shit. So I think I'm going to go with Boss Man again, because I think, like, around here is where I would put Boss Man. I don't think he should be too high.
Right. Kenny, who's number eight?
John
Kenta. Who do you think number eight is? Earthquake?
Shark. Okay. Yes.
The Shark.
Avalanche. I prefer
all right.
to know him as Avalanche.
Golda.
Yeah. All right, Eric, who do you think number eight is?
Ted DiBiase.
All right, Stevie, who do you think number eight is?
I would say Jake the Snake Roberts is number eight.
Okay. Guess what? Nobody's right again.
Okay, who is
Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Oh, poor Kenny.
Can I also say, have none of you guys watched the polls, like, nobody else see that DiBiase was consistently the number one guy?
I didn't
you guys
not
pay attention?
Oh, yeah.
Did you even vote, Daniel?
No, I didn't vote. I like to leave it to the people. I'm here to talk.
Well, he was the number one guy on –
was he in old school? Was he high
that last
school?
Poll.
Yeah, well, I think
before
on the tiebreaker. He was part of the tiebreaker. So
yeah.
We are going to see him on the list, but that's the poll he was on top of.
Okay. Well, first, let me start off by saying RIP Mr. Wonderful, because we
yeah.
just lost him recently. It is fitting to have him on this list. I think I would have agreed with probably Kenny and maybe put him at like a 10, but 8 is still fine. I enjoy all of his old stuff. He was the perfect – like, he was one of my favorite heel turns. Because even though, like, you can watch it back now and you can see it coming, but it just feels like when it happened, it was so shocking. It was like I put that up there with Zabisco and the other great ones. His feud with Hogan, like, you can say arguably that Hogan's the one that drew the money because obviously Hogan is that era, but you need a great heel to make it happen. And Piper was that too, and he had a lot of great monster heels to go against. But him and Orndorff drew a lot of money. And Orndorff and Bob Orton and all their shit, like, that was good stuff. So I do think that he belongs on this list. I think he could have easily had a 2-3 month reign with the title and Hogan win it back if Hogan wasn't so selfish, but that's just my opinion.
Right. I will say this. His death was announced on Monday, right?
Yeah.
On Monday, if we would have ended all this on Monday, he would have placed 10th.
He got some love?
He got some love after his passing.
Oh, that's good.
They
don't appreciate you until you're gone.
Yeah, his death spiked the numbers. All right, Kenny. Does Mr. Wonderful belong on this list, and should he have been higher? Kenny?
Sorry, I was on mute. Hello?
All right, Kenny, does Mr.
Yeah,
Wonderful belong? Does he belong on this list, and should he have been higher?
Yes and no. Obviously, Mr. Wonderful, like, a guy, like, you know, his name fit his deal perfectly. You looked at him like he was in great, great shape for so long. You know, when he cut a promo, he looked tough. He looked like a guy you wouldn't mess with. And in a lot of ways, he was kind of the mirror universe Hulk Hogan, right? You know, like, rip dude, big blonde dude, who would just get in there and beat guys up. And so it made sense for them to give, like, Hogan, him as a partner and then antagonist. And, you know, pile driver guys and all the stuff he did. And then even when he was like, you know, because Doug and I really, Doug, we probably saw him more in WCW than we ever saw him in WWF.
Right, yeah, that's when I remember him the most. I remember in WCW when, because I actually watched it, even though I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling at the time, but I was at Nana and Bob's house, and Bob just let me watch wrestling whenever I wanted to. I watched the Nitro where his career ended at the hands of the Horsemen when they did that spike pile driver.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, and I remember his last match, you know, before he had to retire was against Disco Inferno.
Good way to go.
But you know, he came out, he always looked, you know, he had the cool sequin robe and a Mr. Wonderful gimmick, and he just was a guy like, yeah, this guy's, you bought him. You did, you, and even when he was, you know, even when he's a good guy, you'd like, no, this guy, even as a good guy, he'd be an arrogant kind of guy, even as in a nicer way, but you'd bow him as this, like, this guy, because, you know, look at him. He can be arrogant because he looks like that. And as far as his placement, like, he was always someone, like, I think of him, like, a lot, like, you know, he's the guy who you put in there before you bring your baby face to the main event, right? He's a guy like, okay, if you can do something with him and, you know, if you look good when they're with him, you'll be next couple months after that, you'll be in the top main event spot, chasing the champion. So, I mean, like, he probably should have been given, definitely more of a, not a run, but definitely at least, they could have given him transitional shit a lot more, you know. I mean, because there's, again, a guy like that, there's not any, you can say, well, look at him, you know, he lost to a better athlete. So, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay, Eric, same two questions to you.
Yeah, he should be on the list. I mean, I don't know much about him besides stuff from your history lesson, Doug's history lesson. Yeah, and then, yeah, this is about the right spot he should be.
Okay. All right. Stevie, you tried to campaign for him to be higher.
But, yeah.
You know, same two questions to you.
You know, he should be on the list, but to me, he should be in the top five, not where he's placed at.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Well, explain that a little bit.
I think he should be like number one or number two on the list.
Okay.
I mean, where he is right now is like disappointing. You know what I mean?
Right. I can understand that. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's move on to number seven. Let's try to see if somebody can get one right. Daniel, who's number seven on this list?
Taka Michinoku. What? He should have been on the list, damn it. Give me the pen.
Who the hell's yelling in the background?
I thought that was you.
Yeah, me too.
I thought that was you guys.
Nope.
Okay. I can't. All right, Dan, do you want me to read it again?
No, it's fine. Mr. Perfect.
And number seven?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Kenny, who do you think number seven is?
Snuka.
Okay. Eric?
Baba.
Snuka.
All right, Stevie?
Earthquake.
Okay. Again, nobody got it right.
Wow.
Ted DiBiase.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
Wait, are you kidding me?
Oh, the highest on the fucking list. right. Well, DiBiase, obviously, to answer the same question you're going to ask, he definitely belongs on the list. He is my number three on my list. Well, the greatest heel of all time, in my estimation. I have nothing but positive things to say about Ted, so just anywhere I've seen him has been good. I can watch old Mid-South, and even, like, some of that is kind of hard to watch unless you're, like, a real big fan.
Yeah.
But his shit was still, like, on point there and just really fun and really good. And the Million Dollar Man thing was suited for nobody else but him. He blew it out of the water. He should have easily had a title reign at some point and then Hogan take it off him. He did get big. It's hard because it's kind of cheating with him because he got a lot of big spots that maybe some other guys on this list didn't get, like the WrestleMania push, you know, losing the tournament to Savage.
Right.
But, yeah, he should have had a title reign at some point, and he should be, like, top five at least. He's the man. There's not much more you can say. He's just one of the best heels to do it. You hate him immediately after hearing him talk for 5 seconds. And he can go.
Right. No, I 100% agree with that. I thought he was actually going to be higher. He actually, because I did the tiebreaker poll, he jumped up a couple of spots.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, obviously, and, you know, everybody's arguing, well, you know what? He held the title. He held the title. No, he bought the title, but he wasn't the champion. And then they took it away from him right away because they said you can't buy the title. You're not the champion. All right, Kenny, same questions I've been asking. Does he belong?
Yeah, I got it.
Right.
Yes, he belongs on the list, and yes, and no, he should be way higher. He should have been number one, in my opinion. And I'll explain why that is. Out of all the guys on the list, with maybe the exception of Perfect, he is the best in-ring worker on the list. With maybe Perfect being the other one. He was so good. You go back and watch the Mid-South stuff, which is just, all of it's really good, but you go back and watch him and how he works and, you know, the face turns they do with him where Dick Murdoch takes him out and he's wrestling Flair for the belt and he comes back from this, like, horrendous beating. Or even, you know, in his heel work, obviously, he was the – and there was a time when he was – how would I put this? He's a guy on the level of, like – Barry Windham, Bobby Eaton, those guys for best workers just in the ring in terms of smoothness and just, you know, doing stuff, making even the most ridiculous thing look good, like the falling fist drop, right? I mean, every one of us knows that doesn't do shit to anybody. But you watch him do it, and you're like, oh, Jesus, he caved the guy's head in.
Right.
Right? So, and the Million Dollar Man gimmick was wonderful. You know, it couldn't have worked for anybody else. He was just, you know, he just, the guy you bought, the only thing he, it's funny, you know, the only, you would have thought that he would have, it would have translated well, but if you go back and watch, when he did, like, the Million Dollar Man thing, corporation as a manager, he couldn't, he was all right, but he didn't get it. Like, he didn't get the manager thing. He was not very good in commentary. Now, part of that is overexposure. But, when he did the thing with the Steiners and was in the NWO, he was better. But, like, the first stuff he did as a manager was not great, if there's one criticism of his work. But overall, I would have had him as number one. And because, can you just imagine if, now, I'm not a person who shits on Hulk Hogan a ton because I think it's overblown, like, everything. But, like, imagine if Hulk wouldn't have been there and we would have got DiBiase Macho Man for a couple months. How good those matches would have been.
Right.
So, yeah, so he should have been higher.
Okay. Eric, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched any of his stuff, but I agree with you guys. I'll agree.
Okay. Stevie.
Well, I'm okay with his placement, but I think maybe he could have been higher. You know what I mean?
Okay. Right, and I'm to be honest with you, I'm surprised that he didn't make the top half. He didn't make the top half of the countdown.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Okay.
I think it may be based on his wrestling ability. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Should have been higher.
So, no, and I 100% agree. All right, so I'm not going to make things too much easier for you.
Okay.
But I'm going to make things a little easier, and I'm going to knock four names off the list that didn't make it.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and guess Test.
Test is one of them, yeah.
Okay.
Martel.
Oh.
Well,
that makes sense.
Earthquake did not make the list, and Hammer Valentine didn't make the list.
Those are all correct choices to knock off the list.
I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
Love all four, but, I mean, for greatest mid-cards, definitely. But maybe not the greatest to never win the title.
Okay. So, all right, we're at number six. Daniel, who do you think number six is?
The British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith.
Okay. Kenny, who do you think number six is?
I don't think this is right because I didn't put him higher, but I'm going to say Jake the Snake.
Okay. Eric?
I'm going to keep going and say Jimmy Snuka.
Stevie?
I would say Jake the Snake Roberts.
And by the way, if Jake the Snake doesn't get, like, top two at least, this whole list is a travesty.
Okay. Well, everybody's wrong again. after we get done with this, after we get done talking about this pick, I'm going to knock two more names off the list.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
But number six is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Okay.
Daniel, go for
it. Yeah. I mean, well, I said one of the greatest heels of all time last time. I mean, probably one of the greatest baby faces of all time. There's just something about Ricky. He's got that underdog mentality and that underdog, like, look to him that you're always going to look at him and want to cheer for him, no matter who he's going against. You can obviously make the argument he had some of the greatest matches of all time with Ric Flair. That's an easy argument to make. But he's done so much more. I don't know which is my favorite Ricky because I love him equally. WWF, the Dragon Run, also NWA/WCW. He did great work in both places. Should he have a run with the title? I don't know because I know that was not actually a question, but there was so many, like, he couldn't be the babyface champion over Hogan. It just wouldn't have happened. So he's just one of those guys, like, you had Hogan and you had such a great talent roster that there was no way that Ricky could have won the title. But he was so great in other areas. And he was just the man, especially when he brought out, like, an alligator and said it was a Komodo dragon.
Right. and, again, I'll say this. When I originally, before this hit the polls, when it was just a question – he was number seven. So he went up a spot.
I think six is good. I think six is good.
Okay. All right, Kenny, you're up.
Yes, and yes, I agree with both parts. I would even give him five, maybe. No, see, and I don't want to get, you know, too into politics, but we do have to talk a little bit about something here. This is a great example of why of how racial demographics play into where your business is. Because the whole thing with Ricky Steamboat was when he first showed up riding the Bruce Lee wave, right? He's the dragon, right? And Bruce Lee was a big deal because he was the first non-white action hero. So therefore, he was very popular with people of color. So because the WWF, though, was primarily a northern company, you know, East and North and, you know, a little bit in the West, they didn't have the same fan base. And, you know, they didn't have the group of the people of color in the way that the South had it. And there's a – so he didn't – he couldn't have been as big a deal. Had they been more interested in doing a Southern demographic, he would have been a bigger deal in the WWF. And that's just how it worked. You know, I mean, that's why – you know, everything about – look at JYD, right? There's a reason when he came to WWE or WWF, he wasn't the big deal that he was in Mid-South. And it had to do with the fan base. He didn't have the built-in, you know, and the same reason why Bruno Sammartino didn't become a big name anywhere but New York, because they didn't have the Italian immigrant fan base. So Ricky Steamboat, though, you know, nice guy, amazing, still at his age, amazing shape. And those matches with Jericho, honestly, one of those should have been on a pay-per-view instead of on Raw. He was amazing, you know, obviously he didn't have the musculature still, but he still could go in the ring. And just like, and the biggest thing that screwed him in his career, well, two things, but it was always the booking. His, you know, the thing with, I'm sorry, but as we know, as young guys, I'm sorry, no one gives a shit about, like, your kid's cute, we'll say that, but no one gives a shit about your wife. And compared to Ric Flair with, like, the 24 women coming out with him, who the fuck is going to think, wow, Ricky's cool. I want to go and marry one woman and have a kid. And I'll never be like Ric Flair being with 24 women at once. Like, so it was always the booking that kind of screwed him. So, yeah, I think it was a good choice, and that's my take on Ricky.
Okay. Eric.
Yeah, this is about the right spot for Ricky Steamboat. It was either going to be him or Smith for me. And, of course, he should be on the list.
Okay. All right. Stevie?
I agree. He should be on the list. I have no problem with his placement, though. So
okay.
I'm okay with it.
I don't either because – and a lot of people have said this in the polls. You know, they've commented and said that they mainly consider him to be an NWA guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm definitely okay with him making the list. Before we get to number five, I'm going to knock two more names out of who did not make the list.
Okay.
Try to make it easier. One of them is going to be very disappointing to Daniel. The other one probably won't be that. Well, the other one's disappointing to me.
Ooh.
Big Boss Man's not on.
Huh.
And
yeah, that's a serious disappointment because – at one point in time, he was the epitome of what a big man wrestler was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Is supposed to be. So that is a disappointment.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not happy about it either. I campaigned for him to make the list.
Great as a baby face, great as a heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not happy about it either. I was furious when I found out he wasn't going to make it. And the other one that didn't make it that I'm going to announce right now, Tito Santana's not on.
Okay. Well, that I mean,
that's nice surprise.
You know, and there's another nice guy from everything I hear about him. Although he wants to get paid for his appearances, we'll say, which is nothing wrong with that. But you know,
sure.
But like he's a guy like that. Just like the modern era, kind of just again, there wasn't that traditional fan base like. For him, he like you know it was he because he was Hispanic, you know it wasn't quite you know he kind of missed that. Those people were not they were obviously you know obviously Miguel not Miguel Pedro Morales was a big deal, but he was Puerto Rican, not Mexican or Spanish, and that's a big fan base. So again, he's another guy who kind of got screwed just by the position of the WWE.
Right. I will say this though about Tito, before this hit the polls, he was ninth, so he would have made the list.
I mean, he doesn't like No, he shouldn't be on the top 10 to never become WWE champion. He was a great worker, no promo, obviously. But, I mean, he was still, like, he was just a guy you want to root for, kind of like another Ricky. And the I know I've always heard rumors, I don't know if they're true or not, but wasn't Vince, like, considering him for the championship slot around the same time Hogan got the thing? Or maybe
probably.
Even one of the runs? Something
I mean,
like
again, you have to
had
remember
not
that
they signed Hogan, they would have given it to either him or Snuka.
Right.
Makes
sense.
Because, well, the rumor I had heard was they were trying to sign two guys in late 83. One being Hogan, the other one being Kerry.
Yeah.
It was Kerry Von Erich. And Vince apparently had said that if he can't sign either one of the two of them, it's going to be either Snuka or Santana. And luckily, Hogan has no problem burning bridges with people.
It would have been interesting. All right, for this round, I'm going Davey again.
You think Davey's number five?
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny?
I'm going to say Perfecto.
Okay. Eric.
I'm going to say Owen Hart.
All right. Stevie.
I'd say Owen Hart.
Okay. Stevie and Eric got a point.
Owen Hart?
Owen Hart.
Yeah, I think it sounds about right for the fans, considering the list so far.
Okay. So finally, somebody, we got halfway through the list, somebody got a point. Well, two people got a point. So, all right, Daniel, we'll start with you again.
Top five, maybe he's a little too far in. I mean, I'm kind of sad I didn't see him earlier because I would put him at like seven or eight. He's another one.
Oh, wow. That's
a great worker. Kind of, you can put that, him, DiBiase, and Mr. Perfect all kind of in the same category. And he had great character, and whatever he was doing, he made it work. But, I mean, they could have gave him the title with the whole Brett shit. I've always said that there was no reason he couldn't have had a 2 or 3 month reign somewhere down the road there. But I wouldn't say that I'm too mad about his play. I don't think he should be any higher than five.
Okay.
But, yeah, of course he should be on the list. Owen Hart, he's one of the better workers to never win the title, for sure.
Right. Again, I'll say this. The Twitter polls actually saved his ass.
Yeah.
He would have been eight.
Wow.
But Twitter knocked him all the way up to five. So, Twitter did him justice, I guess.
Well, what do you think, Kenny?
Owen Hart, definitely, I would say five is a good place for him, and I think he should have been a champion, absolutely. If you go back, I forgot he was in the list, so I would have added him on to Perfect and DiBiase. He was, arguably, I think he was more of a natural than Brett was. As you know, Brett famously was very nervous cutting promos, and that's why he wore the sunglasses, where Owen just didn't ever seem to have that problem. He got it, and I think he was a much more natural heel than Brett ever was. I mean, Brett became a good heel, but he had to get – it was a perfect storm of he had the perfect guy to be his opponent and the whole national, you know, Canada versus America thing, where – Owen just, you know, he had the heel look and he could work babyface and heel and, you know, he should have beat Brett first at some point. I mean, it wouldn't have, they had nothing going on. Like, I mean, Brett really was, it was in that weird period where like, yeah, Brett was, there was that weird, like, you know, Owen Brett thing and there really wasn't kind of a main event and it was all this weird, you know, the title might not be in the top all the time and it really should have gone to him because it would have just made it, you know, seal the deal a little bit more. you know, have him do the King of Hearts thing with the belt. And, you know, that's a, it's good storytelling. And, yeah, Owen was just a guy brimming with talent. And, you know, obviously now it's even sadder that he never got the belt and got the money that would have come along with it for the time because of what happened. But how could you not? Like, there's so much about Owen that just is unbelievable in a lot of ways, you know. And, yeah, and who knows, you know, definitely should have happened. But good
right.
placement, though, because he's a guy like, it would have made sense, but did, as we saw, it didn't need to be done.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree. That, like, I do like his placement on the list. I mean, I actually thought he was going to be higher because I've heard a lot of people say it, but no, I'm definitely happy with him going being a five. Eric?
I actually had him number one. I mean, some of the guys on this list I haven't seen, so that's probably one of the reasons why I had number one.
Right.
And I think he did deserve the title. So I had him at least top three, if not number one.
Right. And Stevie, before I get to you, I do have to say,
he was really talented.
The reason why, like, none of us really gave a list and we're just running through the fan vote is because when we do these lists and we all have a top 10, it's a lot to try to get through in the span of time that we have. So that's why we're just kind of running through the, you know, our fan vote and, you know, obviously debating it. Just basically so we can, you know, save time. But Stevie, go ahead.
I had him on the list too, but I had him in the top three.
Okay.
I had him at two, but I guess five is a good placement for him.
Yeah. Okay. We're up to number four. Does anybody need me to repeat who's still in the running here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Now I have the list here.
I think we're all in the weeds here.
Okay. All right. So Eric can actually cover his ears because he apparently has the list in front of him. But for anybody else that doesn't have the list in front of him, you still have on the list, you still have the British Bulldog, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, wow.
And now these guys, out of that list, none of these people were knocked out completely, right?
All these people, no, two of the people that I just listed are not on the list. So
okay.
Four of the six are still on.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right, Daniel, who's number four?
Give me Davey Boy.
All right, Kenny.
Ravishing Rick.
Oh. All right. Eric?
Rick Rude.
Stevie?
British Bulldog.
Okay.
Thanks, Stevie.
All right. You guys split,
you're
but you're all wrong.
No.
Daniel's not going to like...
What, Davey didn't make the list?
It's Jake.
No, it's Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, he's kidding.
The number four?
Yeah. I'm going to reveal the next person to not make the list after we get done talking about this.
Okay. I don't agree. I mean,
I
he's my number one. He's my number one. I just – when he was good, I mean, we know what has kind of happened to him. And another guy like Scott, thank God he kind of got his life together, and I hope, you know, that keeps going well for him. And, you know, everything he overcame, you know, good for him. But – he was just for some reason he worked as a babyface too, but him as a heel and just the slow talking and just, cause that was the era of the Hogans and the, you know, screaming at the camera and kind of acting, you know, cartoony and stuff. And he was just like a serial killer. You know, he was like Hannibal Lecter almost, and the way he talked to you, and he's just slow. And it's like, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to rip you apart. And then I'm going to bring out Damien. And he just says it so like smooth in a way where you're like almost scared shitless. Like it's scarier than having like Vader say he's going to rip you in half. And even though Vader's like huge, he should be more intimidating, but just the way Jake talks, and just one of the greatest promos of all time. You can just, any person that wants to like see a good entertaining but not over the top promo, look up a Jake promo, because just the way he would talk, and then he would get in the ring and back it up to no end. The DDT is probably one of the, next to the super kick and suicide dive, one of the most used moves in wrestling now, but no one's ever hit a DDT like Jake the Snake Roberts hit a DDT. All his the program, like, I watched the old tapes with you of the snake biting Macho Man, and I cried when I was little. Like,
oh, it scared the shit out of me.
The shit he would do was just so impactful, and he was usually in front of a part of good stuff. You can't really say the booking tarnished him, because the only way that it didn't was that he didn't beat Hogan for the title at some point and have a title reign, because he deserved a title reign. But nothing more I can really say. He's just one of the best to do it. He'd be in my top 10, like, greatest of all time, regardless.
Right. All right, Kenny?
Jake the Snake Roberts, maybe my all-time favorite wrestler. Man, he would have just – God, it's so hard to explain, like, if you haven't ever – let me put it this way. We all remember the famous, the infamous Heroes of Wrestling, where he was so fucking out of his mind. You know,
yeah.
Drugged up. You go back and listen to that promo, and other than he forgets the rules of blackjack, that promo is better than 90% of all wrestling promos ever cut. That's how good a promo Jake Roberts is. He can cut a promo better than anybody, completely blitzed out of his mind on drugs. You know, and that's the thing that I think it will, like, he's another guy where, like, there will never be someone who cut a promo like him. And he was, you know, for Jake was the perfect person to be Jake the Snake Roberts, and if that makes any sense. You know, and talk about a guy who came through so much. I mean, like, that his whole story is, like, it's horrific. I mean, if you haven't seen The Dark Side of the Ring, or the Pick Your Poison DVD that WWE did, I'd be in a good place emotionally, because you will be scarred by what you hear about his father and his upbringing. And, you know, another guy who, I think if there's one thing you could say, there's one reason you didn't need to be the world champion, is because it just wasn't time. The guy he was a big deal because he was different than Hogan, but, like, he wasn't a guy like absent Hogan and a couple other, absent Hogan, I think definitely he would have been the champion, because he was just so over. He was the one guy on the roster who, even when people loved Hogan, was over more than Hogan. If you get what I'm saying. Because
right.
He talks about how they, you know, in the house matches, the crowd would be chanting for the DDT. When he would wrestle Hogan. So, I mean, that's clearly a guy that over would have been the champion. Now, the right decision was made because Hogan was the guy who was going to make the money. Right? I mean, if nothing else, he was going to bring in the dollars in a way Jake couldn't. Everything about Jake, the DDT and everything, and like that is just, the other thing too is, like, we because he was in there with such gigantic people, and he wasn't, like, although he did have for body for a normal human being, he wasn't a muscle grip guy, but, like, he's a gigantic human being. You know, Aunt Lynn gave him a, I don't know what treatment when he was in town. He had some kind of medicine or something, and she said he was just gigantic. She couldn't believe how big he was when he came into the hospital. So, like, and with the, you know, like, the way he did the DDT and the snap to it, just beautiful. So, yeah, this is a good spot for Jake. You know, if on my list, he would have been number two probably. And, yeah, so good positioning, good choice. Good on the people for having the brains to recognize that.
All right. Eric?
I thought he was going to be at least top two. I think he's one of the greatest in-ring promos of all time. In the ring, from one way. He's just an all-around great wrestler. So I thought he was going to be top two.
Right. All right. Stevie?
I'm okay with him on the list. His placement where he is, it doesn't bother me, so I'm okay with it.
All right. So we're in top three.
Well, can I say one more thing about Jake?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because to kind of finish, because Kenny was talking about it too, wasn't there a segment where they were going to do a thing with him and Hogan?
On TV.
And
yeah.
In the segment, he, like, attacked Hogan, but the crowd cheered. So they
when he DDT'd him on the concrete.
So they cut it and said the angle's not happening.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I thought I remembered something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I agree. I actually thought he was going to be at least top three.
Yeah.
But
that right there tells you how much he was over.
Right, exactly. All right, so I'm going to give away another person that did not make the list. Dan, you're going to hit me.
Why?
Because it's Bulldog.
Okay.
Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog, did not make the list.
Well, I wouldn't put him this high anyway, but the fact that he's not in the top 10 is a little disconcerting. I mean, I feel
who
like...
Who would you have knocked out and put him in? Or put him in the place of?
Who would I have knocked out? I don't know. That's a hard one, too. Snooker didn't get put on the list yet, right? Or is he still in contention to be on the list?
He is still...
If Jimmy Snook is on the list, he shouldn't be there, and Davey Boy should be there, in my estimation.
Snook technically is still contention for me to say his name, yes.
But everybody we've talked to, I pretty much agreed with that they should be there in some way, shape, or form. So I don't know if I want to kick anybody off, but Davey Boy was a hell of a hand. And to me, it was always like, why didn't they put the title on him? But,
right. I mean, I would have taken the title off Diesel and put it on him.
Yeah, and when you talk about fan bases, too, that's when they were growing and doing more UK shows and stuff, and he was very over, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, name another show where the IC title was in the main over the world title.
Exactly, there you go.
There hasn't been another one, I don't think, right?
And it was
not
over,
in the WWE.
That crowd reaction.
Yeah.
Not in the WWE, I don't. Nakamura and I think Tanahashi did it with the title in New Japan. They were above the IWGP belt with their Intercontinental belt, but not in WWF.
Yeah, they did it with Ziggler in this last brand split at some point.
He was the main?
I think they did a main event Ziggler IC title thing at some point.
Okay.
But
Not Great Balls of Fire. It was a Iron Man match with him and Rollins.
Yes. It was
Extreme Movement.
I mean,
maybe, but yeah, I mean, but yeah, it does not happen very often.
Okay. All right. So we're at number three. Obviously, the four guys that can still make a list are Mr. Perfect, Roddy Piper, Jimmy Snuka, Ravishing Rick Rude. But there's only three spots left. Daniel, who do you think made number three?
Well, now I want top two has to be Piper and Mr. Perfect. Who else was on that list?
Snuka and Rude.
Let's go Rick Rude for number three.
Okay. Kenny, who do you think is
number
three?
I'm going to go Rick Rude.
Okay. Eric?
Rick Rude.
Stevie.
Roddy Piper.
Okay. Everybody gets a point except for Stevie. It is Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Rick
So we could be getting closer.
Winning.
Yeah, we're going to get close to Eric picking a show subject. All right, but yes, Ravishing Rick Rude came in at number 3. Daniel.
I was right.
Yeah, you, Kenny, and Eric, I'll pick Rick Rude.
And why should he be there?
Correct.
It's Rick Rude, man. I mean, I love his – I mean, you and Kenny grew up on it like Kenny was talking about earlier because you guys probably know Rick Rude a lot from WCW. That is honestly – as much as I love the stuff in WWF and I thought he was really good for what he was, he was the only person that could get a good match on Ultimate Warrior, but I love his WCW stuff. You know, seeing him on Saturday Night and the Dangerous Alliance, and that's my favorite Rick Rude. But all like – he just had the look. He had that confidence. And as a heel, he, like, what I said about Razor, that's another guy that's just cool. There's just something about him. He just seems badass. He seems cool. He almost had that Tom Selleck look a little bit. And he was just, like, there was just a badass part of him. And the fact that he was such an arrogant douche. And he had that kind of, like, greasy porn star look, too. And it's just, like, everything about him was just a great character. He was great in the ring. He had the Vince-ish look, but it was more leaner, too. So there was a lot going for Rick, and he kept it out for a long time. And he would even show up in ECW sometimes and do some funny stuff talking. So we've seen a lot of good Rick Rude stuff. He was in DX, correct?
Yeah.
NWO?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's not the biggest parts of those groups, but that just says to all the man's done. He showed up on Nitro and Raw on the same night.
Right.
He's top 3 is a perfect spot for him. I agree with where he's at.
I will say this about your point about how, you know, Kenny and I, you know, obviously grew up on him more in the in WCW. The two things I remember about him from the WWF is the Hasbro, because I did have, matter of fact, I think I still, well, no, I don't have the original Hasbro I had of him, but I did have his Hasbro when I was little. And the Kenny, you remember the WrestleMania video game for the Nintendo?
Yes.
Yes, I do. So I remember, and I remember him being in that, because that was the game where it was Hogan Warrior, Rude Andre, Boss Man.
I don't think what. Warrior wasn't in it. The one for the Nintendo, anyways.
Now he was in. He was in this one. It was. I don't know if it was. I think it was like Super WrestleMania or something.
Challenge. Wrestle Challenge. It was.
Oh, Challenge. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Boss Man was in it. Brutus was in it. Duggan was in it. And then you had a character that was just called You.
Yeah.
But I remember Rude being in that game, and I used to like playing as somebody else and beating Rick Rude. Even though, you know, I'm like 5-6 years old, I really don't know how to play video games.
Apparently you don't know how to play them now either.
Oh yeah, no, I suck at them now, like I would not have been a good cast member for that movie, Stay High.
And they're easier now to play than they were when we were kids.
Yeah, there's all walkthroughs. You can go on YouTube and beat a game.
I still suck at it. All right. Kenny, so does Rick Rude belong on the list, and are you okay with his placement on the list?
Yes, he's good in great placement. And yes, of course, he belongs on the list. I mean, here's the thing about Rick Rude. Is like, Rick Rude, you look at him, first of all, just phenomenal look, right? The guy was always ripped. Even when he was, you know, wasn't on the gas, he was ripped to a degree that, like, you can't, you know, to a degree that would put a normal human being to shame. Obviously, a tough guy. Knocked the Ultimate Warrior out with an open hand, a slap, basically. You know, he was just a bad, dude, and his gimmick, you know what, you believed him because, you know what, unlike all the other guys who had kind of like the pretty boy gimmick, you could legitimately be like, well, yeah, if I had abs like that too, of course, like, all these women would be like, you know, drooling over me. So there was always that, like, even if you were the most secure relationship with a woman or a man you could possibly be in, you'd always be like, there'd be something back in your mind like, yeah, I could see, I could understand someone wanting to be with Ravishing Rick Rude, right? He had the look and, you know, in the airbrush tights, which were his idea, obviously, because he had them for so long, you know, and that just played in great. And, like, you know, just everything he did, he looked, you know, real. And Sting talks about how, like, he did kind of look down on fans sometimes, you know, because he felt that some of that was legit, that they were fat slobs and, like, could work out and be better. And, you know, so that was kind of the thing. And he was just a guy, like, you could put in there against just about anybody. And, like, if you want, people want to see him get beat up because they know everything he's saying, there's at least some truth in it. Like, yes, he's in better shape than you. The women like him more than you, and right, like all the stuff. And so you constantly want to see the guy get beat up. And, like, talk about, like, cool heels. Like, and I mean cool heels. I don't mean, like, horsemen, because the horsemen, yeah, a couple times they were total heels, but most of the time they were more like, they were more, you know, neutral guys, right? They were kind of like in the middle. But he was always a heel, but he was still cool, right? Like the Dangerous Alliance, like that Rick Rude was so good, and his music fits him so well. And he's, you know, the short hair, I think, actually made look way better than the puffy afro thing he had in WWE. And he was just so on fire. And so how could you not want him on the list? It's like he was a guy, like, who came close to it a lot in a lot of ways. You know, I think maybe Warrior, he should have had the belt, and Warrior should have won it from him at some point. Because that was a hot feud. I mean, you know, the Warrior was hot, even though he was a blithering idiot. And not to speak ill of the dead, but when you make up words like dystrucity, can you say? And he made the Warrior watchable for more than 4 minutes.
Right.
So there you go. I've seen Rick Rude.
Yeah. All right, Eric?
Yeah, he definitely should be in the list. Top three is about right. To make an argument for top two, too. And, yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time.
All right, Stevie?
I'm okay with his placement on the list.
Okay. All right, we're in the top two. Daniel, who do you think number two is?
I have to go Perfect because besides Jake, I'd go Piper. So I'd go Piper number one and Perfect number two.
Okay.
And knock Jimmy Snuka out.
Hey, Penny, who do you think number two is?
I'm going to – now, to be – Daniel has a good idea, but I think that if there's one mistake in his logic is that – He missed, how big of a deal Snuka was before Hogan showed up. So I think it's going to go, it's Piper number two, Snuka number one.
Okay. All right, so Daniel says Perfect's two. Kenny says Piper's two. Eric, who do you think number two is?
I think it's going to be Mr. Perfect number two.
All right. Stevie?
I would go with Roddy Piper number two.
Okay. Eric and Daniel are correct. It's Perfect.
Yeah.
So that gives Eric another point. So Eric's at 3 points right now. And Daniel's at 2 points. Daniel, start us off here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously.
I'm pretty familiar with it. Right. Mr. Perfect obviously should be here. I don't have an argument because we're getting pretty high now. I don't think he should have been before this. I don't think he should be after this. I think number two, he is the number two guy that never won the title. He's the one of the best to do it. No one really lived their gimmick like he did, because the whole Mr. Perfect thing, like, it was like, it could come across as a cheesy gimmick. It was actually apparently supposed to be given to Terry Taylor before the whole Red Rooster thing. But he really was perfect in the ring. Like, this dude could put on matches with anybody. He could make those 80s golden era wrestlers that, no offense, I know we all love that era, but weren't always great wrestlers. He made them look awesome. Everybody he worked with, he was a perfect heel because he made the baby face look lovely. And not a lot of people can do that. Most of his angles were usually good. He should have. I don't know when he could have won the title, because that's another hard one, because there were so many fucking guys. But as Intercontinental Champion and stuff, like, he's got to go down as one of the greatest of all time. So, yeah, he should be here.
All right. I agree. I really like his placement. I will say this, that at one point, he was number one. But obviously that had changed. But for a while, it was going back and forth between him and the person that went number one. Kenny, obviously, same questions to you.
I don't have a problem with him being on the list or his placement. But I did vote for him, but I would not have given him, like, he would not have been on my personal list because, and this is not anything against him or anything I dislike about him, I wouldn't have put him on it because he was the kind of guy who, like, you would always, you almost, because he was so entertaining, he almost, like, wasn't hateable enough, right, like, as a heel. Because he was so entertaining. In a lot of ways, like, kind of like Arn Anderson in a sense, because, like, just, like, smoothness and excellence in the ring and believability. It's like, Arn Anderson was always a guy, like, even though he was a bad guy, I couldn't ever, like, really hate him because he was just so good in the same way. He's so good that it's like, you almost want to cheer him, and the only reason you don't is because supposedly the other guy you're supposed to like more. But my thing with Perfect is that he never, like, I never felt like he needed it. You know what I mean? Like, there was a great example of a guy who doesn't need it because he reached as popular and as big as he's going to be without it, right? It wasn't necessary for him. Like, you didn't need to know that he could beat everybody. He didn't need to beat everybody for you to know he could beat anybody, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I just think that, like, if there was one thing that held him back, it was that, he got really big when he was kind of on a down, you know, his health was going down, right? I mean, that's why he stopped wrestling. I believe he took the Lloyd's of London payment. Like, ironically, most of those guys coming out of Minnesota did. I'm not against it, but I'm shocked. Honestly, if someone was going to get knocked out of these three guys left, it would have been him. Again, right. Love Mr. Perfect, but they're just, you know, he's just a great, kind of similar to Jake Roberts, where he's like, in a world without a Hulk Hogan, he would have been a world champion, absolutely.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Yeah. All right. Eric?
Yeah, this is the perfect place, no pun intended. I said that right. This is the perfect place for hit Mr. Perfect. So, it's one of the greatest of all time.
Okay, Stevie?
I'm okay with his placement on the list.
All right, very good. Okay, we're at number one. Daniel, who do you think made number one, Piper or Snuka?
I'm going Roddy Piper. I mean, I agree with what Kenny said, and he was a huge deal, and he was that number one baby face almost before Hogan, and flying off the cage and shit. He's one of the more overrated guys in my opinion. So, and Piper can kind of do no wrong for me. So, as a huge Piper fan, I gotta go with Piper.
Okay, Kenny, who made number one, Piper or Snuka?
This is almost an impossible choice, and you can know. You can say all you want about Billy Snuka's personal life and everything, but you know that shouldn't be on us, because number one, if we were there, we were kids, and number two, if they did a good job of covering it up, so that's neither here nor there. Piper, here's my thing. My brain says Snuka, my heart says Piper, so I'm gonna have to go with Piper.
Okay. Eric, who made number one, Piper or Snuka?
Mr. Piper.
Piper?
Okay. Yep.
Stevie?
I'm going to have to go with Jimmy Snuka.
All right, going against the grain. Obviously, it's Piper. Piper made number one. So,
can I guess what put him over the top?
Huh?
It was his Twitter poll, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. No, he was already. Well, yeah, because Piper is the guy that you say this about.
Yeah.
Like, Piper is introduced, and to me, like, when you talk about Piper, one of the first things, like, in the argument, you say, well, he's, like, one of the best wrestlers to have never won the WWE title.
Right.
That's Roddy Piper.
Yep.
It was actually the original poll I put in Old School Wrestling that cemented him.
Okay.
And
exactly.
As number one. And the Twitter poll just kind of, made that distance between him and Perfect just even go further. Piper really didn't need any help. He was going to win the damn thing anyway. But he had, like, there was a couple things that the Twitter poll changed. I'll say this, and then of course, obviously, we can get to Piper. Had it not been for Twitter, Owen Hart would have been lower. Like, that's the biggest thing from the Twitter poll. But all right, Piper. Daniel, you basically just gave your take, right? You got anything else you want to say, Adam?
No, I mean, he is the guy that should have won the title but didn't. He was Hogan's greatest adversary. He's the one you talk about when you say this. To me, I don't know if I could think of a more perfect number one.
Right. I'm okay with it. Like, I love the fact that he's number one. All right, Kenny?
I mean, it's perfect. As I said, my heart said Piper. That's what I went with. Now, what's interesting, I got to say, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, Monday, all of you don't probably know, but Doug and Daniel do. I'm an actor as well. And I said, if I ever, for some reason, got to play the Joker, of Batman, I would play him as Roddy Piper. Isn't that a brilliant idea? Like,
that would be kind of cool.
That would be amazing,
right?
Yes.
Because it just works as a like, here's a crazy lunatic. Like, Piper is a great example of a guy who, like, very much in the vein of Jerry the King Lawler, where here's a guy who's no physical wonder at all. I mean, he's in shape, obviously. He's an athlete. He's a wrestler, but he's no physical wonder. He's actually kind of a small human being, especially by wrestling standards. But here's a guy who you totally would believe if three guys jumped into a bar, he'd beat the shit out of all three of them and not even break a sweat. Or, and you believe, like, he's crazy because he came off as crazy, and it was all from his talking and his personality. And, he's a fine wrestler. Nothing wrong with him, for sure. But, like, it's all personality and presence and just his stagecraft that made him Roddy Piper. I mean, in the WWF promos are great, but if you want to see the like why he was even in that position, you got to go back and look at his Portland promos and all that. And just this is another example, a great example of like how influential he was. That guy basically, if you Dr. Tom Pritchard at his when he's doing like his body, you know, his heavenly body stuff and that era, he's basically doing a Roddy Piper impersonation. And so does like Art Barr did it when in his interviews. But he did it more of like just the cadence of speech. Dr. Tom almost does an impression of Roddy Piper. And so like the influence he had on people in wrestling and just the way he talked. And again, another guy who you just bought. You didn't think like, you know, here's this guy. He comes out. He's going to, you know, he's going to beat you up. He's going to do whatever he's got to do, slap the sleeper on you once, you know, get out of the ring. And he was just so good. He was the perfect foil for Hogan because he was, you know, quicker than he was, you know, mentally quicker than Hogan. And he just looked like, you know, he could work it where it made sense that he had a bodyguard, you know. And it just, Roddy Piper, man, he was something, you know, as much as every wrestler is one of a kind, like, there was only one who could be Roddy Piper, and that was Roderick Eugene Toombs, or Eugene Roderick Toombs, whatever it might be, you know, of Winnipeg.
Right. All right, Eric?
Yeah, and what else is there to say about Piper? He's one of the greatest promos, one of the greatest wrestlers, underrated. He definitely should have been champion.
Okay. Stevie.
I'm okay with the placement. He should have, like, had a run with the belt, but obviously that wasn't the case, so.
Okay. So that is our top 10. Obviously, Jimmy Snuka did not make the list. He was close. Like, I think he was only three votes away from beating Vader out for the number 10 spot.
You know, honestly, I could see him losing a lot of standing just because of now, like in the last couple of years, like we know the, you know, his deal with his ex, his girlfriend or whatever. I can see like out of all the people who've had shit revealed about them, because he was, think about it. When he was a huge star, he was already 40 years old when he jumped on, you know, when he was doing the thing with Morocco.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he came back in 96, whatever, then blew the roof off at Survivor Series, there was so much goodwill to him that I think, like, really was, when we found out what he really did, it was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, we as a podcast, pretty good at separating the art from the artist, but I mean, you can't make everybody or expect everybody to live or act that way either.
Yeah.
I respect how everyone feels about that stuff, but
right.
I can still enjoy the matches and the old content.
Right. I mean, the one go ahead, Kenny.
In his case, it's a little different too. I mean, it's not okay, obviously, but like, you know, there were other, this isn't, like, there's a difference between him and Benoit is how I would put it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one I'm upset about not making the list is Boss Man. Like, that's the only one that bothers me.
That is a surprise. And again, a world without Hulk Hogan would, you know, there would have been a dead ringer, you know, for being champion, because look at him. He's a gigantic man who can move and run and speed and just, like, and do stuff that no one else can do.
Right. Okay, so... go ahead, Kenny.
I think part of it, too, is, like, you know, like, some of his... The best work he the last of the best work he ever did was in Japan. So he, you know, he had some really good stuff when he first came to WCW, but as soon as he goes back to being Biker Big Bubba Rogers, he's starting to lose his step. And he loses it fast, to be honest.
Right. So, this was good. I really enjoyed doing this. This was, and I do agree for the most part with the top 10. We are going to do these top 10 lists, or we're going to try to do them quarterly. So we'll probably do another one in October. I'm not sure of the list we're going to do yet. Like, I'm trying to run them through my head, but I'll let you guys know.
Sounds good.
I have some ideas.
All right, we'll talk about
it. Go ahead, Kenny.
So Eric won this, huh?
Yeah, Eric got the most points. Eric wins the contest. So Eric gets to pick the show for August 6th. Eric, you can actually give
it. I have it already.
You have it already?
Yep.
What do you want to do? Let's do it.
You know what? Just tell us. I mean, I'm going to text you after the show anyway because there's stuff I have to ask you, but
we got breaking news.
We got Eric, what are we doing August 6th?
Since it's SummerSlam month, we're going to do SummerSlam 2011. Famous John Cena versus CM Punk.
The Summer of Punk.
Ooh, good choice.
Summer of Punk, baby. Let's go. 10 years ago.
That's the one after Money in the Bank, right?
Yeah. That's when...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Del Rio, Jackson.
That's the Del Rio, right?
Yeah, because of Kevin Nash.
Yep.
Yeah,
Triple H was...
That's when you were the Summer of Punk.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to talk about, though. There's a lot there.
I don't think I've actually watched the full card.
On August 6th? Well, the week before that, you will.
Yeah.
Take us home, Dutchie.
Nice job, Eric. But all right.
All right, gentlemen. Take it away, Doug.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Kenny, it's always a pleasure. Obviously, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks for the Patriot episode when you and I are the host. When you and I are the host of the episode, Lord help us.
Talking some trooper. We're going to be talking about the trooper.
Yeah.
The big pinch.
All right. So, and thank you, Eric. Thank you, Stevie. Eric, I actually will be texting you in a few minutes because there's other stuff I have to ask you. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, we live together, so.
Yeah. This was fun. I really enjoyed this episode. And yes, Roddy Piper is the greatest superstar to never win the WWE title.
Very good.
All right, everybody. Good to talk to you guys.
Awesome.
You too, Kenny. We'll see everybody later. Eric, we'll talk to you tomorrow.